Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 2, please. Romans chapter 2. And if you are a visitor, a guest, we've been going through, walking verse by verse through the book of Romans on Sunday mornings. And we have, the last few weeks, been in chapter 1, and we find ourselves coming to chapter 2 this morning. And when these letters were written by the Apostle Paul, there weren't chapter divisions in these letters. And so you go from chapter 1 to chapter 2, or chapter 2 to chapter 3, and often there's a continuation of the same thought, maybe with a different application, but the same idea, the same thought, the same subject matter being covered. And that is very true with what we find here this morning. We're going to read verses 1 through 16 as our text. And we're going to consider what the Apostle Paul writes to this church in Rome concerning the judgment of God. And chapter 1 was concerning the judgment of God on wicked men who are open, blatant sinners and who reject the word and the will of God. But he continues this thought of the judgment of God against those who may not outwardly be open and blatant, but inwardly in their heart, they are just as wicked, those that we might call the hypocrite. And so we're going to consider this morning God's judgment of the hypocrite as we read. Follow along. Verse 1 says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that which do such things?" He's talking about the things that he mentioned at the end of chapter 1. He says, "Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." The Apostle Paul is writing here to this church in Rome, and he's trying to make this truth very clear, that it doesn't matter if you're a Jew, it doesn't matter if you're a Gentile, it doesn't really matter who you are, there's no respecter of persons with God. And he's going on later on in the next chapter to teach and to show that all men are sinners before God. That God doesn't have that God doesn't show favoritism, you know, for one group of people and not the other. In chapter 1, he said, hey, the Gentiles and the people of this world, they're open and blatant rejectors of God. But then he says, do you think that you're going to escape the judgment of God? And you think that you're better than other people when in your heart you're really actually the same? Maybe not outwardly, but in the heart you're the same. And know this, that the judgment of God is according to the truth of God's word, but it's according to the truth of who exactly people are in their hearts. The outward condition of a person is not the real issue. The condition of the heart is the real issue. And God knows and sees the heart. And this is the thought and the idea that Paul is getting at in these verses. And in the last few messages here, we've been considering the wrath of Almighty God. We read back in chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So we've been considering the wrath of God. And as we saw last week, there are multitudes of people who choose to live lives of rebellion and disobedience against God. And these people, they'll be held accountable. They're going to feel the full fury of God's wrath against their sin. However, there are just as many others who would live moral lives, people who might be outwardly clean, and maybe outwardly they appear to be upright, but inwardly they are just as wicked as their evil counterparts. And in these verses that I've read here this morning, Paul turns the spotlight of God's word on those who we might call hypocrites. That is, people who might condemn the actions of others and who might put on a show and appear to be upright, but really in their own heart, they're not right with God themselves either. These people might look right outwardly, but inwardly they're guilty of the very same things, or many of the same things that the wicked are guilty of that are mentioned in chapter 1. Remember how we read at the end of chapter 1, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, that means unyielding, it means obstinate or stubborn, unmerciful. Here's a whole list of things that Paul mentions here. And then he gets into chapter 2 and he says, you might condemn others for living that way, but in reality, in your heart, you're guilty of some of the very same things. And you think you're going to escape the judgment of God? In these verses here, the Apostle Paul tells us something about the impending judgment of God against sin. And he helps us understand just what the judgment of God is all about. Who's going to be affected by it? What will the results of it be? And there are three things this morning that I want to bring out that teach us much about the judgment of God in the life of the hypocrite. First of all, consider with me verses 1 through 5. We consider here the reason for God's judgment. Look with me again at these verses. The reason for God's judgment. "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." The reason for God's judgment, first of all, number one, is because of the sinfulness of the hypocrite. We find this in verse 1, the sinfulness of the hypocrite. He says, "Thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things." We see the sinfulness of the hypocrite. And just as surely as the Lord's wrath will be revealed against all those guilty of openly sinful and wicked lives, we can be equally sure that God's judgment is going to be felt by the hypocrite. We all know what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is someone who just plays a part, somebody who pretends to be something that they're really not. God holds that person accountable too. God holds that person guilty as well. Why? Why? First of all, because of his condemnation. One of the reasons that God judges the hypocrite is because the hypocrite assumes the place of God in judging the life and the conduct of another person. You see this here? He says, thou art inexcusable, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. The person who condemns the life of another puts himself in the place of God. He passes judgment on another person, assuming the place of God himself. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And the Bible says here in Matthew 7 and verse 1 and following, judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 is America's favorite verse. Judge not that you be not judged. But this verse does not mean what most people want it to mean. Somebody might say, judge not that, doesn't the Bible say you shouldn't judge? You Christians shouldn't judge. That's a Christian thing to do. Well, it doesn't mean what they want it to mean. See, they want to be accepted and free in their sin. And so they say, don't judge, you're judging me. Well, you know, in this same chapter, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, by their fruits you shall know them. It's not judging to simply point out and observe the fact that, you know what, your attitude stinks. Your attitude is not at all what a Christ-like godly attitude is about. That's not judging. That's simply observing fruit. I'm a fruit inspector, that's all. What your life produces is evidence of who and what you are on the inside. But God says, we don't take the place of God. To judge, the Greek word here, it means to pass judgment in a judicial sense. Meaning that God is the one who is the ultimate authority. God is the judge, the jury, and the executioner, not man. I'm not the judge of any man. That's not my place. It's not my right. God is the one who passes the judgment in the judicial sense. But there are those who would look down their nose at others and feel themselves to be righteous, feel themselves to be right with God because they don't, like the hypocrites, the Pharisees, I thank God that I'm not like other men are, and so on. God's judgment is going to come on the sinfulness of the hypocrite because of his condemnation, but also because of the way that he lives, his conduct. What really takes the cake here is that the hypocrite will look at another person and judge that person's life for what they do, but God says, listen, you're guilty of the same things. They may not be doing the same things outwardly, but sin begins in the heart. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 16. And Jesus said, are ye also without understanding? Do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. And they defile the man, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Jesus says, hey, the root and the source of sin is the sinful heart of man. The things that come out of the mouth are a result of what is in a person's heart. Listen, if a person's got a rotten attitude, they got a bitter spirit, it's a result of what's in their heart. If a person's got a foul mouth and if a person has evil thoughts and evil actions, it's because of what's already in the heart. We can put on a show all that we want. We may not outwardly be wicked and sinful like those of the world, but sin begins in the heart. And Jesus made it very clear. in his preaching in Matthew chapter 5 that to have sin in the heart is the same thing. It's as if we've already committed it. Look with me back in our text in Romans 2. We're talking about the reason for God's judgment, and we see the reason is for the because of the sinfulness of the hypocrite. But look at verses 2 and 3. This shows us the sentence of the hypocrite. Verse 2 says, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Just as the wicked are going to be judged by God, so too shall the hypocrite." In fact, the judgment that they're going to face is going to be exactly the same as the wicked. Notice what Paul says about this coming judgment. He says in verse 2 that this judgment is pure from the because of the purity of the judge. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. Here's the pure judgment. Paul's telling us that God's judgment of the hypocrite is going to be based on the truth of who they really are. Just as sure as his condemnation of those who are open and wicked in their sin, their judgment is going to be based on the truth of who they are as well. And the point is that we must never forget that while a man looks on the outside, God is looking at our heart. God sees the heart of every person. And listen, let's make the application. God sees the heart of you today, friend. He knows exactly what is in your heart right now, in this very moment. He knows what you're thinking. He knows if you're thinking, "I can't wait for him to shut up. I got to get out of here." He knows exactly what you're thinking, whether or not the truth of God and the Word of God is rich to you. He knows if you're just a big hypocrite or not. He knows if you're putting on a big show to try to convince everybody else, "I'm good, I'm right with God." He knows. God sees the heart right now, in this very moment. God's judgment, though, is not going to be based on what you look like. It's going to be based on the truth of what you are in the heart. Verse 3 shows us the certainty of God's judgment. "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" Hey, God's judgment is certain. The bottom line of all this is the fact that it isn't the state of one's life on the outside that's the issue. It's the state of the heart, because out of the heart proceeds the evil thoughts. And you and I, we could be squeaky clean on the outside, but God knows who we are on the inside. I wonder if there are many who would sit in the pews of a local church and look down their noses at others in judgment, but someday they're going to face for themselves the undiluted wrath of God as well. Because in their heart, they're just as wicked as the people that they would condemn. There's a lot of people who are like the older brother in the story of the prodigal son. Remember in Luke chapter 15 how the prodigal son ran off and he wasted his substance with riotous living? But that older brother, he stayed home. He didn't run off. He wasn't open in his rebellion against his father. But in reality, his heart was just as rebellious as his brother was. And in the eyes of God, he was just as guilty as his brother. And there's a lot of people like that who sit in the pews of local churches all over the place. And God says, and he's comparing, the Jews thought that they were better than everybody else. And Paul writes here stating that, you know what, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. The Jews thought that they were better than everybody else. And he says, you think you're going to escape the judgment of God when you're guilty of some of the very same things? Even though it doesn't show outwardly. Look at verses 4 and 5. Verse 4, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. These next two verses here make the reality of the hypocrite's sinful nature very clear. And there are three things that are revealed here that make the reason for his judgment very plain. Verse 4 shows us that he takes part in the blessings of God. He says, do you despise the riches of the goodness and forbearance and long-suffering of God? He takes part in the blessing of God. And these words here indicate that the hypocrite gets to enjoy some of the good life. He gets to enjoy some of the blessings of God. But the truth is that God is simply just withholding his judgment to give that hypocrite every opportunity to repent. The hypocrite thinks that, well, I don't feel guilty. There's no judgment of God on my life, at least outwardly. I don't have the sins of other men outwardly. God's not angry with me. But nothing could be farther from the truth. Verse 4 says that he despises the blessings of God. He doesn't understand what those blessings of God, that God is simply withholding his wrath to give an opportunity for repentance. And he despises that. He doesn't understand it, and he refuses to repent. When it's the goodness of God should be the very reason that a man would seek a relationship with God, that he isn't judging my life, that I'm not consumed. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, the Bible says. He thinks that he has some sort of stamp of approval and is despising the blessings of God. You know, I'm very thankful, friend. I'm very thankful for the long-suffering and the grace of God. That 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm very thankful for the mercy and the long-suffering and the grace of God. But it's going to come to an end one day for those who continue to reject God. And they don't understand that this moment is a moment of grace, a moment of mercy for God. God withholding his judgment that they deserve, giving every opportunity for a person to repent. But verse 5 says and tells us that the hypocrite, instead of gaining favor with God, is actually storing up wrath and judgment against himself. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Listen, when the Lord and his grace are ignored and rejected, the only logical outcome is that of judgment. And just as sure as the wicked sinner is going to face the judgment of God, so too shall the secret sinner. All sin is going to be revealed, and all sin is going to be judged by God. And listen, hell will be just as full of hypocrites as it is of blatant, outright, open sinners. How tragic to have so much opportunity for repentance, but to go out into eternity as a hypocrite and experience the undiluted wrath of God. You can fool a person, but you can never, ever fool God. God knows your heart. He knows if you're a hypocrite or not. We see the reason for God's judgment, but verses 6 through 11 shows us the reality of God's judgment. Verse 6 shows us that God's judgment is personal. Verse 6 says, who will render to every man according to his deeds. You know what? God's judgment is very personal. It's according to it's to every man according to his deeds. And God's judgment in the life of a person is an individual matter. People want to lump everybody into one big category, listen, because you kind of get lost in the shuffle. It's not as personal. I feel as guilty. Does that make sense? Oh, everybody's doing it. But the truth is, every person will be judged according to their own merits. You're not going to pay for another man's sins, and no other man will pay for yours. But God will judge based on what He knows about your heart. And let me tell you, friend, His knowledge of your heart is very thorough. Hebrews chapter 4, turn over there with me. Hebrews 4. In verse 13, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest or made known in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Jeremiah 17 in verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But look at verse 10. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse 9, I said, was the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But look at verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God knows exactly the depths of depravity in our heart. And God's judgment is going to be based on what He knows about your heart. In our text in Romans 2, we see that God's judgment is very personal. But if you look at verses 7 through 10, we also find that it's proper. Verse 7 says, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor, immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. These verses tell us that the person who lives right, seeks the Lord, honors the Lord, obeys the Lord, he's going to enjoy the blessing of the Lord in his life. But the person who denies God and lives a life for self-will, he's going to receive the proper judgment of God. It's impossible to get away from this truth that it's the condition of a person's heart that is the issue. Verse 11 shows us that God's judgment is perfect. He says, for there is no respect of persons with God. This verse simply states that no one receives special treatment from the Lord. It doesn't matter how you were raised. It doesn't matter what you know. It doesn't matter what church you attend. It doesn't matter what you do for God. Everyone will be judged by the same standard. That standard is Jesus Christ and a personal relationship with Him. There is no respect of persons with God. That's why in Matthew chapter 7, in verses 21 and following, in the day of judgment, there's going to be many people who say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works? Look at all we did for You, God. And He's going to say, depart from Me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. There's no respect of persons with God. Everyone's going to be judged by the same standard, and that standard is Jesus Christ and a relationship with Him. We see the reason for God's judgment, the realities of God's judgment. But consider lastly with me this morning the realization of God's judgment. Go back to Romans 2 and verse 12. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to My gospel. The realization of God's judgment, verse 12, shows us that God's judgment is going to focus on sin. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. God's judgment is going to be focused on sin. The basis for God's judgment is always sin. And all those who sin are going to pay the price for the sinner. Listen, if they knew the law and they sinned, they're going to be judged by the law. If they didn't have the law and they've sinned, they're still going to be judged because of sin. And according to Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4 and verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the bottom line is very clear. God's judgment will be realized by all those who are still in their sins when they leave this life. Every man. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's only one remedy for man's sin. And that is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God's judgment is going to focus on sin, but God's judgment, listen, will also focus on a response. Look at verses 13 to 15 here. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. In verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Somebody might say, well, is God really fair to judge people maybe who don't have as much opportunity as others? Maybe is those who've never been exposed to the truth of God, is God really fair to judge those people? Will they still be held accountable by God? And the answer to that question is yes, they will. And why? Because these verses make it very plain that every person has a conscience given to them by God. Every person has a knowledge of right and wrong that is given to them by God. And our conscience, listen, our conscience is not a guide for us to live by, but rather our conscience is a goad that prods and pokes and shows us the difference between right and wrong. And what Paul is talking about here is simply this, that God gives light to people. Every man that cometh into this world, God gives some light to. John chapter 1 and verse 9 says that Jesus Christ is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into this world. God gives everybody an opportunity, gives them some light. That light may be dim, the light may be very bright. But if a person will respond to the light, God will give him more light until he comes face to face with Jesus Christ. But if a man rejects the light and continues to reject the opportunities of God, he's going to be held accountable for the light that he's been given. Every person that is born into this world receives some light from God. And certainly men are going to be judged according to the light that they were given. But listen, to reject a little light is just as damning as rejecting a whole lot of light. Let me ask you the question. Someone might ask the question, in fact. Is God fair for judging those who have less opportunity? And the answer is yes. Because people are surrounded by the testimony of God every day. Remember Psalm 19? The heavens declare the glory of God. And there's not a voice or a language. Listen, there's no people group where their voice is not heard. The heavens declare the glory of God. Things that can be known of God are manifest. Remember chapter 1? Go back to chapter 1 of Romans. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. What's the last phrase? So that they are without excuse. People are surrounded by the testimony of God and the existence of God every day. They've been given some light. And God's judgment is based upon man's response to that light. I heard one pastor say, it would be better for a person to go to hell from the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa than to go to hell from a Baptist church pew. And the point that he was making was that the more light that you've been exposed to, the more light you're accountable for. And there's not one person in this room this morning who is not accountable to God for the light that he has been giving. He knows your heart. He knows whether you're a hypocrite or not. He knows if you're one of his children. And there's coming a day when God is going to judge every man. Look at verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. God will judge the secrets of men according to his gospel. There's a day coming when God is going to judge all men. And a day when all the secrets of men are going to be proclaimed publicly from the housetops. Look with me over in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Verse 1. Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Listen, all of the lies, all of the hypocrisy, all of the secrets, all of the backbiting, all of the whispering, all of the things that men want to keep secret or between themselves, God says there's nothing hid and there's nothing that's not going to be revealed. When I was a kid, whenever these verses were preached, before I was saved, man, this terrified me. It terrified me because I knew what was in my own heart. I knew the thoughts that I had that were evil and wicked, the things that I did that I kept secret, and the thought that one day that all of my sin is going to be plastered all over the, for everyone to see, and all of the wicked thoughts of my heart are going to be known, and the things that I've said in secret, it's going to be shouted from the housetops. It terrified me to be exposed for who I really was. There's coming a day when men are going to face the reality of what their life really was. All the things that they tried to keep a secret, they're going to face the reality of what their life really was. What will be the basis of that judgment? Well, it's going to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man's eternity is going to rise and fall on what he did with Jesus Christ. And on that day, the day of God's judgment, my friend, it won't matter what a person's accomplishments were. It won't matter what a person's standing in the community was. It won't matter how other people perceive you. It won't matter where you come from. And it won't matter who your daddy is. You're accountable to Jesus Christ. And what you did with the gospel of Jesus Christ. All that's going to matter in that day is whether or not you have a genuine relationship with Christ through faith and repentance. Did you receive him and his gift of salvation, or did you reject him? Did a person fall before him in repentance, or did they cling to their sin, stubbornly refusing to admit what they are? Look at 1 John chapter 5, and I'll close with these last two verses here. 1 John chapter 5. in verse 12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." It doesn't get any more plain than that. A person's eternity depends totally on what they do with Jesus Christ. Look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." What a horrible, horrible end awaits everyone who refuses to come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. Let me ask you this question this morning as we close. Where do you stand? Where do you stand? Have you been putting on a show trying to convince everyone that you're right with God and good? I'm a Christian. But in the heart, you're wicked, deceitful, a liar, a gossip, a backbiter, an adulterer, fornicator, stubborn. All of the things that Paul lists in Romans chapter 1, for which people try to condemn others, but are guilty of the same things. Last Sunday, we read in Romans 1 a stirring passage. Think about those who live lives of open wickedness before God and how they're going to face the judgment of God. But we should be equally stirred this morning by any life that denies the Lord, because the end result is always the same. And the heart of the matter is this. There's no difference between the homosexual and the hypocrite. They're identical in the fact that if they reject Jesus Christ, they are headed for the judgment of God equally. And I would ask you and challenge you this morning, based on the Word of God, examine your own heart. Are you genuinely saved? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior for sure? Or are you facing the judgment of God with nothing more than a hypocrite's heart? God, help us to see how real and how serious this matter really is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, accomplish your purpose now through your Spirit, through your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.